Turn now to the book of Judges, shall we? Chapter number 9. The book of Judges in chapter number 9.
Is our brother, Mr. Fred Stallon, from Linwood in Scotland?
Now, the book of Judges in chapter number 9, please. And our reading together is at verse number 6. And all the men of Shechem gathered together, and all the house of Millo, and went, and made Abimelech king by the plain of the pillar that was in Shechem. And when they told it to Jotham, he went and stood in the top of Mount Gerizim, and lifted up his voice and cried, and said unto them, Hearken unto me, ye men of Shechem, that God may hearken unto you. The trees went forth on a time to anoint a king over them. And they said unto the olive tree, Reign thou over us. But the olive tree said unto them, Should I leave my fatness, wherewith by me they honor God and man, and go to be promoted over the trees? And the tree said to the fig tree, Come thou and reign over us. But the fig tree said unto them, Should I forsake my sweetness and my good fruit, and go to be promoted over the trees? Then said the trees unto the vine, Come thou and reign over us. And the vine said unto them, Should I leave my wine, which cheereth God and man, and go to be promoted over the trees? Then said all the trees unto the bramble, Come thou and reign over us. And the bramble said unto the trees, If in truth ye anoint me king over you, then come and put your trust in my shadow. And if not, let fire come out of the bramble and devour the cedars of Lebanon. Now therefore, if ye have done truly and sincerely, in that ye have made Abimelech king, and if ye have dealt well with Jerubbaal and his house, and have done unto him according to the deserving of his hands, then we go down, missing out the bit there, and say, Ye are risen up against my father's house this day, and have slain his sons. Now over with me, please, now to the second book of Chronicles in chapter number 27. The second book of Chronicles, chapter number 27. Reading together at verse 1. Jotham was 25 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Jerushah, the daughter of Zadok. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Uzziah did. Howbeit he entered not into the temple of the Lord, and the people did yet corruptly. And he built the high gate of the house of the Lord, and on the wall of Ophel he built much. Moreover, he built cities in the mountains of Judah, and in the forests he built castles and towers. He fought also with the king of the Ammonites, and prevailed against them. And the children of Ammon gave him the same year 100 talents of silver, and 10,000 measures of wheat, and 10,000 of barley. So much did the children of Ammon pay unto him, both the second year and the third. So Jotham became mighty, because he prepared his ways before the Lord his God. Now the rest of the acts of Jotham, and all his wars and his ways, though they are written in the book of the kings of Israel and Judah. He was 25 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. And Jotham slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David, and Ahaz his son reigned in his stead. May God bless the reading of these two portions of his word this afternoon. And no doubt you are wondering with me, where is the connection between these two seemingly opposite passages of the word of God? But you've recognized at least that the two men that are mentioned in the passages are both named Jotham. And at first reading you would say, well, that's the parting of the ways, there isn't very much more to say. But there are similarities and there are things that we want to take out of these two men and their experiences that I'm sure will be challenging to our hearts for a short time this afternoon. The first thing I want to draw your attention to is that the first Jotham in the book of Judges chapter number 9, he witnessed during his days the rise of a man who wanted to be king, but he did not have the fitness or the title to be king. And the other Jotham, he witnessed in his days a man who wanted to be priest, but he did not have the fitness and he did not have the title to be priest. The first Jotham mentioned, he witnessed what God did in a very salutary way. For the first man, Abimelech, he slew the 70 sons of Gideon on a stone. And he ended his days by having a stone dropped out of a window by a woman that fell on his head and killed him. The other Jotham witnessed the salutary intervention of God that when the priests tried to stop his father from going into the temple to become a priest or to exercise priestly office and function, he with they saw the leprosy rising up in his father's face. So both of these two young men, they had certain things to see, and they witnessed the hand of God moving. One of them only delivered a sermon. He appears on the page of Holy Scripture, and having delivered his sermon, his parable, he disappeared. And then the other one was the son of a king. He went onto the throne, and I have some things to say about Jotham in a moment or two. Another thing that we want to draw your attention to today is that both of these men were young. I think the first one would probably be around about the age of 20. He was the youngest son of Gideon. And the other lad came onto the throne when his father became a leper before he was 25, and when his father died, he took over. Now, I have had an exercise this time of being in Belfast to speak to my young brothers and sisters and to encourage them in the things of the Lord. And I want to say to you, my friends, that as we dwell in these two young men today, we are going to find out that they were in responsible positions at a very early age. And being in a responsible position at a very early age, they rose to the occasion and they brought glory to God and were faithful in their ministry. If you will forgive me saying something personal for the moment, my wife and I were married, we were saved, we were baptized, and we were married in a very large meeting in Glasgow. There were nearly 200 in it, in the west end of the city. The first house that we received to rent was a rented tenement flat in the center of Glasgow, in a district called Townhead, which was becoming very rapidly run down. The meeting was only a few hundred yards from the house. And when I went into the meeting, I discovered that they were sitting round a gas fire in the corner. And there were just three little benches, and the old lady of over 80 who was the hall keeper, she put a blanket over them to keep her backs warm while we had the fronts warm at the gas fire. I looked round the hall when I went in, and the seats were covered with dust. So I said to the old lady, "Why do you not dust the seats?" She said, "No one ever sits on them anyway." And that was the reason. Now, you can understand what that meant to me as a young man. For I was an overseeing brother in my 20s, and I was the assembly correspondent in my 20s, due to the fact that in the ways of God, I came from a very large meeting by circumstances and landed in a very small one. But I have this to say, and no credit to me at all, I hasten to say that there were revivals in that meeting over the next few years. And that hall that had these seats to seat 300 never dusted saw 300 in it, and on many occasions too. There's a very dangerous drift at the moment amongst us in Scotland, and I hope it's not in Ireland. But the smaller meetings are getting smaller, and there's a general drift towards the larger ones, and the larger ones are getting bigger. And we're finding that testimonies that have been there for many years are now closing by reason of the fact that people wish to be in a large gathering of the saints, and their identities are being lost. Now, you'll have remorse, my friend. You will indeed, in the later years of your life, if you turn your back on a meeting where God has placed you, just simply to escape the responsibilities and head for the larger group. Now, I can prove from experience that if you're prepared to get into it in your youth, young men, and take the challenge of being in a small company and get your back into it, and you, my dear young sister, support him in it and go and do it. And in these small companies, you'll see the hand of God, I'm sure, and it will be the first thing that will develop you. Now, you'll excuse that personal comment, but I feel that it's most essential to my young friends in particular that they don't turn their backs upon where they've been reared and head for the big company. You'll lose your identity, your gift will be lost, and the saints will lose the benefit of a very valuable ministry in years to come. Do take that. I do ask of you, with all the kindness in me, to give it to you. Now, I'm going to speak on the second bit on building for God. In the April edition of the Believer's Magazine, I hope you all buy the Believer's Magazine. In the April edition of the Believer's Magazine, there's an article by Clark Logan, as one of your own men, from Botswana. And it's entitled, Building for God. And it's on the book of Ezra. Now, I would heartily recommend that you rush out and buy a copy of the Believer's Magazine and read Clark Rogan's article, Building for God. And while you're at it, if you're feeling pessimistic, read the editorial. It's a cracker. And it's got to do with apostolic optimism and apostolic realism. And if you're feeling pessimistic, read the editorial. And then, no, read Clark Logan's first and then read the editorial after that. So I'm borrowing Clark Logan's title this afternoon just for a few moments on the second Jotham, where I want to let you see that Jotham built for God in the most unlikely places, in the most unlikely situations, and Jotham saw the hand of God in what he did. Jotham. Now, you cannot understand the first Jotham in the book of the Judges unless you read about Abimelech. Because it was by reason of Abimelech, who wanted to be king, who wasn't fitted, had no title to be king, there were 70 in front of him as far as title was concerned. That didn't matter to him. For he schemed and planned, and he assassinated the 70 of them in order that he might become the ruler of the people. Now, you might say to me, Mr. Speaker, we don't assassinate folk today. And in that sense, perhaps we don't. But I was listening to a speaker just a fortnight ago. And the speaker said, in the course of his address, he said, if I destroy your character, it won't do me any harm. He said, it certainly will do you harm. And character assassination, my dear friend, is something that seems to be growing amongst us. And if I assassinate your character, it's not going to do me any good, but it certainly will do you harm. So I would take that at least out of the passage that we're dealing with this afternoon. The book of Judges is a very exceptional book about the way the Spirit of God moves. And it doesn't say it so very many more times in the Old Testament as I've seen. It says the Spirit of the Lord came upon Othniel. It says the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. It says the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jephthah. And it says the Spirit of the Lord, three times over, came upon Samson. Spirit of the Lord didn't come upon Abimelech. In fact, my friend, He never mentions the name of the Lord once in anything that he has to say. That side of the business wasn't of any interest to this man. He was only intent on getting his own way. And he was prepared to buy it. For he came by 70 pieces of silver, which he gave to vain fellows, and they took up the cudgels on his behalf, and he slew the 70 brethren of Gideon on a stone. I was reading in meditation at the end of the book of Joshua. And towards the end of the book of Joshua, there is a stone set up as a memorial, the faithfulness of God, and other things besides. And I was wondering as I read this about Abimelech, if he took the same stone that was set up by Joshua, something that was meant for a memorial and blessing and a reminder, and slew these brethren of Gideon upon it. Now Abimelech came into the scene because of a mistake, very bad mistake by Gideon. He already had 70 sons, and Abimelech was an illegitimate one by the handmaiden. So apart from the mistake, you see, Gideon's family paid a great price for their father's mistake, for all of them were wiped out except one. And that's young Jotham we are talking about for a moment this afternoon. So there are many things about this man Abimelech, and time permitting, we would have looked at them, although it makes very sad reading. It's the way he moves behind the scenes that causes us to consider if just perchance in the assemblies of God's people these things would move us. He's a man who goes back to his mother's brethren. He didn't go to his father's sons, the 70. But he went to his mother's brethren and he said, "Will you just speak for me? For it would be far better if one ruled than the 70 ruled. And I'm just the one to do it." And so, of course, they exercised the men of Shechem, their influence, having listened to this man Abimelech working behind the scenes. He bought them. And you know, my friends, while there is amongst us in the assembly the tendency to rise sometimes over our brethren, and we use the term bought, it doesn't mean to say that they hand over cash or a check for that. You can do it by placing the saints under such an obligation, by reason of kindness and attendance, that you can get them to be put into a position that by reason of obligation to you, they are willing to support you, knowing all the time that you're not doing the right thing. And that's what Abimelech did. And so this young man, Jotham, was brought forward by God. And being brought forward, he had one sermon. And it's the sermon that we call the Sermon of the Trees, or of the bramble tree. Just a few comments on that, because I certainly will watch my time. I'll sit down in a moment or two. Well, Jotham stood up now, the youngest son of Gideon, and this man Abimelech slain his brothers, and he was now crowned king. Incidentally, just in the passing, we recognize that the first king over Israel was Saul. And yet it would appear that here is one before Saul. But we want to say this, he wasn't king over all Israel. He was king over a little section. And so Saul was still the first king after the people's choice. I just make that point. And so he stood up on the top of the hill and he began to speak about trees, men as trees. And he portrays to these people that had crowned this man Abimelech. He says, "Now, the people went out and said to the olive tree, 'Why don't you reign over us?'" Now, I want to say this too in the passing, that in the New Testament particularly, there is very good and sound and solid teaching about the olive and the fig and the vine in connection with Israel, all standing for various aspects of Israel and so on. But it's not used that way here, I'm persuaded. So the olive turns around and says, "What, do you want me just to go and wave over the top of men and women when I have a ministry? I'm here, he says, because of the fatness. And out of me, the olive tree, there comes that by which they honor God and man. And you want me to hand over a ministry like that just to go and be a figurehead?" So the olive says, "You can count me out. I have no truck with that." And so, having got a denial there, they come to the fig tree and they say the same thing. They say, look, how about coming to be king and reign over us? And the fig tree says, what? I've got a ministry of sweetness and good fruit, and obviously bringing pleasure and good and benefit to mankind, and you want me to leave my ministry just to wave over the people? He says, you're not on. I'm not interested. And so they go now and they say to the vine, what about coming and reign over us? And the vine says, do you want me to leave my wine, which tilleth God and man? And you want me to be promoted over the trees? You want me to stagger over them? You want me to wave over them? You're not on. I'm not at all interested, says the vine. Now what will they do now? And here's the point of Jotham's message. They turn to the bramble. And having had a look, not having been in Israel, but having had a look at what the bramble is there, we find that the bramble was certainly not much of a tree as far as trees went. And yet it has the audacity to say that out of me will come fire that will burn down the mighty cedars of Lebanon unless you do what I tell you. And unless all the trees come and shelter under me, whoever heard of anybody taking shelter under a bramble bush? And yet, in his ministry, he's making it clear that you've chosen Abimelech, who has neither title nor fitness, and you've put your weight behind a man who is exercising authority which is not the blessing of God. No angel appeared to Abimelech when he was crowned. The voice of God had no direction for him when he was crowned king. But the people did it because he bought them, and he put them under an obligation. And so we see in this parable here that this man who had done these dreadful things was now moving in the conscious knowledge that ministry had been made in a clear way that condemned his movements. And you know, my friends, we sometimes find that amongst us in the assemblies of God's people, that ministry comes to our ears and we know fine well where it has come from. It has come from God. And we know fine well the bite of that ministry and it biting at us. And we are well advised to turn and make a change if the ministry is getting at us, but he didn't pay the slightest bit attention. He was not at home amongst the spiritual. He wanted nothing to do with the 70 sons of Gideon. So he went to his mother's brethren. He was a carnal man. He moved with animal cunning. He moved as a fleshly man. And he exhibited all these traits in his dealing with the people. I leave him just to say one or two things about the other Jotham. And I say this about him. The people who put him there, they were the ones that felt the fire in the long term. They were the ones who themselves were judged by reason of their folly. And I would ask you, my dear friends, if you feel encouraged sometime to lend your weight to something that has an element of suspicion about it, and it's not transparent, and you feel it's not the mind of God in the assemblies of God's people, hesitate. Don't do it. Wait before the Lord. For this ministry of the bramble bush will certainly bring to pass what the character of the person is. Because out of that which is humble and insignificant, it has the audacity to say, and the great cedars of Lebanon, they will fall before me. As I said at the beginning, he slew the 70 sons of Gideon on a stone. And a woman opened a window and dropped a stone in his head. And in a very salutary way, God judged him. That's the first one. Just for a moment or two then on the second Jotham. Now, my young friends, there were 19 kings over Israel, and all of them were bad, each one. And there were 19 kings and one queen over Judah, and many of them were good. Now, of the 19 kings, I like to point out that Jotham is number 10. Number 10. There were 9 before him, and there were 9 after him, and he was the pivot in the middle. And the significant thing about this Jotham is this. The meaning of his name, by the way, as I understand it, is the Lord is upright. And it certainly is seen in his two servants. But do you know that out of these 38 kings and one queen, there was only one king that God had no evil to say anything about? There is nothing registered against Jotham that would be an indication that he had failed God. Isn't that lovely? What a lovely type of person to appear on the page of Holy Scripture to encourage our young brethren and sisters. There wasn't a finger pointed at him in time or up there down upon him. He was number 10. I suppose if we look at the number 10 and we think of 10, by the way, as 2 by 5. 5 fingers in each hand, twice that 10. 5 toes in each foot, twice that 10. 5 senses by which we talk and hear and taste and so on. Yes, the number 5 or 2 by 5, 10, has a great significance. But it has also this significance. The 10th part. The tithe. The Lord's portion. And I think number 10 king, the 10th king Jotham, was the Lord's portion. I should like to see a little bit of that in my fellow believers, my young ones in particular. I hope they are being encouraged with what I say this afternoon. And I just want to stress one or two things. He did that which was right, but he didn't follow his father because, although his father was a good man, he made a mess of it at the end of life, wanting to be a priest, no fitness, no title, and he died a leper. He died a leper. Well, I once read a book by Mr. Faraday. I read a lot of books, as you probably understand. I do that as a sort of hobby and for people, but I read one by Faraday. And Faraday said, with an awful cry in it, he said, "Oh God," he said, "keep us," he said, "from being wicked old men." And I believe he lived to a ripe old age, and he was afraid that in his old age he would do what the father of Jotham did and do something to regret. Now, I was using Clark Logan's title, Building for God, and I found it in verse 4, of course. "And he built cities in the mountains of Judah." Who wants to build a city in a mountain? Who wants to build a forest, a castle and a tower in a forest? You see, my dear man, you're building in the wrong place. Now, he was making sure, my dear friends, that there wasn't any part of the territory that wasn't being attended to. There wasn't any aspect of the testimony that he wasn't careful about. There wasn't any piece of ground that he wasn't determined to do something about. Cities on mountains, castles in the forest, castles too elsewhere. He was building. He was building for God. Building for God. I should be writing to Clark Logan this week. I need to confess that I borrowed his title. Wouldn't be a bad idea if you wrote to Clark Logan as well. Maybe the postman in Gaborone in there in Botswana would say, "It must be this man's birthday that he's getting all this mail." But you write there to him, and I'm sure that he would appreciate hearing from you that here in Ireland we're talking about what he's been writing from Botswana. So he fought with the king of the Ammonites. And we would find out about the Ammonites if we dealt with Jephthah, the next one. Haven't time to look at that today, but they were a people that resisted the progress of the people of Israel. They set their faces against them. They resisted things. Well, he dealt with that, took it in his stride, and he not only dealt with it in a good way to bring them to heel, but he also took from them the spoil. God saw that he got it. Now, my last comment, and I sit down at that for time's sake, is this, that Jotham became mighty. Why? Why did he become mighty? Because he prepared his ways before the Lord his God. He prepared his ways before the Lord his God. Another one of the Old Testament worthies, he prepared his heart before God. And I would like you, my dear young friend, having come to the conference today, to take a little word of encouragement from those that have passed your way before, And in their youth, they thought the same way as you thought. And they had to come to terms with spiritual things the way that you're having to grapple with them now. And our great desire out of this conference is that our young friends will be encouraged to throw their weight into the local thing. That's the thing that really matters, you know. Get your weight behind the local testimony that in all these districts of this part of the country, we might see healthy meetings with the young ones throwing in their weight and doing what they can and preparing their ways before the Lord, their God. Now, he was only 25 when he was crowned, and he only reigned 16 years, and he died at the early age of 41. But what would we do with the Bible if we hadn't this man, the central man in the 19 kings, against whom God has nothing to say, and who passed out at the age of 41, probably with no remorse? He didn't live to the old age to say, "Lord, keep me from being a wicked old man." He died at 41. But he died at 41 knowing that in the 16 years of his very active ministry, he left something behind him. Cities built on high places, and strong places in the forests, castles and towers and so on. He looked to it, and he ministered for God. Now there we have it. My short word this afternoon to you, again a word of encouragement. Jotham, the first one, one sermon off the page of Scripture. But what a message that was. Another Jotham, 16 years just of life, come on the page of Scripture as a young man. And I do beseech you, my young brothers and sisters today, do take it from me. I've come the way you're coming, you know, and I've had to do it. And having done it, I've no regrets or remorse now. It was hard in my experience, to leave a meeting of nearly 200 and be cast into a place where they were ready for turning the key in the door and having to labor away there for many years. But having seen the hand of God and having had to take the yoke when you're young, well, certainly when you become a little more mature, you can see the evidence of it. So I do ask you today, thank you for coming to the meeting. They're all thank you for coming, of course. We're most appreciative. But do take encouragement and take the things of God seriously and just throw your weight in for his name's sake. Thank you.